Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Dolores was very gracious when I told her I had stolen her slogan, si se puede, yes we can. Knowing her, I'm pleased that she let me off easy, because Dolores does not play.
I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
Where drugs lead you? They lead you to a communist in the White House, and you're so stoned you don't even know it. It's in plain sight. He's hiding in plain sight. So he awards the Presidential Medal for Freedom to Dolores Huerta, a lifetime community organizer, some would say obviously a communist. She doesn't have to wear a red beret. I mean, she's a communist by any definition, in my opinion. He gives it to the singer Bob Dylan, who's a fine songwriter, great entertainer, but what does that have to do with freedom? What does it have to do with freedom, what he was saying? Nothing. So who will Obama award the Presidential Medal of Freedom for next? Will it be, let us say, Saul Alinsky, posthumously for teaching us all how to be community organizers? Will he give it to Al Gore for his years of selfless charity efforts with massage workers? Or perhaps he'll give one to Jerry Garcia, posthumously, as a key early figure in the medical marijuana movement? Or he could give one to Jimmy Carter for his horticultural achievements in hybridizing peanuts and terrorists. There is a possibility that Obama could give a Medal of Freedom to Reverend Jeremiah Wright, his pastor for 20 years, for inspiring his anti-American values. Look where it led him. Or perhaps he'll give one to Sean Penn for daring to publicly revere dictators, especially of the South American variety. And we don't know who in the media might get a Presidential Medal of Freedom next. It could be Wolf Blitzer for his daring public support for Iran's Hitler and his contempt for his Israeli cousins. Which leads us now to the question of the day. Actually, I have two questions today, which I think will make for great radio. And they're somewhat connected to what we are talking about and somewhat not connected. It is a bit of a follow-up to yesterday's superb, stupendous, exciting program on the Savage Nation. We learned yesterday that the face-eating cannibal in Florida, I heard of flesh-eating bacteria, but this is amazing. The flesh-eating cannibal in Florida was on some kind of new drug called bath salts. It's a new type of LSD. And I'd like to know, did you or someone you know take LSD in the 60s or 70s, or even later, and what impact did it have on your life? What made you stop taking LSD, and how did your life change afterwards? Which leads us now to the mother drug, which is marijuana. And I'd like to know, if you used to be a pothead, what made you stop and get your life back from Mary Jane? Those are some of the questions I think would be fun to talk about, if you call that fun. On the Savage Nation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255. And we have a related question, by the way, if the drug questions don't relate to you old guys who never used anything illegal, and maybe the most you ever did was church wine. How about this? Were you raised by hippies? Were you raised by, because yesterday we had a woman call who said she was raised by hippies and became a conservative. And if you were raised by hippies, did you, like, rebel and become a conservative? Dead in the water already. You see already. One light, one limp. So, like, you see, talk radio is like this. Talk radio is like you have to have an imaginary large tent. Think of this as a revival meeting. And it's a tent that could hold hundreds of thousands or millions. So let's say it's a tent that holds 5,000 people. So when you throw out questions one after the other, and you don't get one light on the telos board, it's like you started the hell-raising up at the podium, right? And I say the Lord will say, and you're doing everything you got, trumpets are blazing, and one person peeks around the corner and sticks his head into the tent. That's more or less today's show. I got like one guy was walking by, didn't even know who I was, and he stuck his head through the tent, So what's that guy? What's he saying? Cannibal? LSD? Flesh-eating bacteria? Marijuana? LSD? No, all the lights are lit. I'm just doing this to pull your chain. It's a savage nation. For a minute, I was worried there were no lights, but I have a whole feedback mechanism. Nobody understands talk radio as well as I. I am absolutely the best and most natural talk radio host in the history of the business. There's never been anyone like me. There will never be anyone ever to follow me. There are people who are good at this, but there's no one as great as me. And let me explain something to you. I rarely travel, as you well know, because I have such contempt for San Francisco, I never leave it. Why do I never leave it? Because just as Voltaire lived in Paris to talk about the foibles of the Parisians, I rarely leave San Francisco, or else what would I have to talk about? What is better for show prep than Nancy Pelosi's hypocrisy and her value system? Nothing. What is better than the city of San Francisco, the most corrupt city in the United States of America? Nothing. So therefore, I rarely travel. That's how I came down to L.A. because I had some business down here. You know, my book, Abuse of Power, maybe a movie one day. So I had lunch about 2 hours ago with a group of actors, one of whom you may know, a guy I really have come to admire greatly, not only because I've always loved his movies. Robert Davi always plays the hitman. You know, he's got like a pockmarked face. He's Italian from Astoria, New York. He's a certifiably frightening-looking guy, but he's the sweetest guy, as they say, in the world. I love this guy, but he's an opera singer as a kid, and now he sings Sinatra. So we're having lunch. I'm eating my humble tuna sandwich, and I sit in a little coffee shop here in Beverly Hills, and I said, Robert, what kind of... I said, you started as an opera singer, so you know voices. What kind of voice do I have? He said, you're a baritone. I said, okay. How do you define a baritone? What's a baritone? And he explained to me what it is. I said, is it the tone that makes you have, that defines you as a baritone or a tenor? He said, no, it's not just the tone. And he tried to explain it to me. And you know, I don't even understand the difference between a tenor and a bass tenor and a baritone. I mean, I kind of know by hearing it. But he said, you have the most perfect voice in the world for radio. He said, you really should use an RCA ribbon mic. See, I've always wanted to use an RCA ribbon mic. Instead, I use this like workhorse microphone and audio, what is this, AudioVox? What's this called? Whatever it's called, an RE20. My engineer never heard of it. He's got like a booklet from a Kellogg's box. RE27ND. I have an RE27. It's the workhorse microphone of talk radio. So for years I've said, I want an RCA ribbon mic because I have the voice for it. No, it can't work on AM radio. I know that's a lie. I know it just doesn't make sense. Of course I could. Of course I could. I have a much deeper tonality to you. I could make you even crazier than you are already if I got into your head even deeper, more deeply, to be specific. If I got into your head more deeply with my baritone voice and an RCA ribbon microphone. So one of the other entertainers at the table, a big fan of mine, very famous, won't mention his name, he said to me, Mike, he said, you know, your rage is what drives you. I said, I have no rage. I said, haven't you listened to my show recently? He says, no, you're not heard in L.A. No, he listens every day on the internet. And I said, I'm not in rap. I mean, it's a different kind of show. I want to ask you a question. In the midst of the LSD pot thing, if you've been listening to my show for years, I don't care, 5, 10, 15, 20, isn't it true that my shows are less enraged today than they were years ago? Or am I imagining things? Because I don't feel enraged. I am burning white hot with anger. That's different than rage. I'm angry at Obama. I'm angry at the media. I'm angry at the stupidity of the American drug addict known as the average voter. Because whether you are on Prozac, marijuana, LSD, or crack, you are a drug addict, and your brain has been numbed, and that's how we can have a communist government in plain sight, and you not even know it. Again, last night I'm at dinner in Beverly Hills, another pasta palace, another overpriced, you know, on near Rodeo Drive, but my host said, come on, let's go down, because I like to look at people. So I eat very simply when I travel to begin with. I have the same thing every time, pasta marinara sauce. I figured I'd get the gluten-free pasta even better. Didn't sleep a wink at all. I should have gotten the regular one with gluten. I would have been tired. If I had the regular gluten pasta, I would have fallen asleep. Gluten-free, I couldn't sleep. The whole object of eating pasta is to get sleepy. So what did I order gluten-free pasta for? Why do you eat pasta at night for? It's to get dopey and go to sleep. So I ordered gluten-free. I was up all night. So I ordered and a salad. So he orders a fish. They have a fish called Brazzini. It's like an actor's name, like a bad Italian actor's name, Brazzini. What is Brazzini? It's fish from the Mediterranean. Now, why would you bring fish in from the Mediterranean when you're in Los Angeles and you get it from Long Beach? The worst fish in the world. Next to us at a table is a guy, and I don't know him, crowded outdoors, you know, Rodeo, block away, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. He looks like an ordinary 55-year-old guy with his wife, and it looks like a movie guy with him and his girlfriend. I didn't listen to them. Normally, I'd never do politics when I'm at a restaurant, ever. I do it for a living. I don't do it in restaurants to impose on people. And I hear that when we're driving home, my host says to me, did you hear him going on and on about Obama, that he's picked on because he's black and how Romney's evil? I said, no, I didn't hear any of that. He said, that's because I talk loud, so you wouldn't hear him. That's why I was talking about the Brazzini and why it wasn't any good. I said, oh, now I get it. I said, you're kidding me. I said, these Beverly Hills morons still think that Obama's being picked on because of racism? Yes. They still think Republicans are racist? Yes. And I said, now you understand why I call it the sewer pipe of Hollywood. This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about this and that right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
It is absolutely true that many of you did take LSD and marijuana, and you've kicked it. I'd like to know why. Moses in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please. Tell us your story.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I had been smoking marijuana for a solid about 3 years until I realized that it actually took a very it started draining me physically a lot.
So, in other words, after you parted the Red Sea, that was it?
Oh, man, I get that a lot, I know.
So you're saying it exhausted you?
Yeah, literally, it exhausted me. I lost my motivation to work. I lost my motivation to... I used to read a lot. I wasn't.
Well, you could have become a community organizer. Just think of that.
Yeah, right? I work as an audio engineer, so I need my ears clear. I need my head clear on the job, and I work on a lot of jobs where timing is very sensitive. So,
so do you agree with me that a RCA ribbon mic would be better for my voice, even on AM radio?
It could do you just as much as any other microphone. With digital processing, you can make pretty much any mic do your voice.
I see. All right. So the one I'm using, the one I use, the RE20, is just as good.
The RE20 is a great microphone. I mean, it's been around for
so
long.
Yeah, it's the workhorse. It's like a Budweiser beer horse, this microphone.
Exactly. There's a reason why it's the number one. But, I mean, a good condenser wouldn't hurt you as well to bring out that, because you have a very warm low end to your voice. A good condenser like a U87 would do that a lot of justice as well, actually.
Yeah, right. A low end, yeah, the condenser. So, do you have any, desires for pot? You know, there's a truism that as long as you smoked it for as many months or years, that's how long it's going to take you to get off it without craving.
I can give some credibility to that because it's been about a year since I've stopped it, and I still feel a little bit of that, but
right.
My head.
So, like, are you around people who smoke dope? When they smoke dope, don't you get a contact high and you feel like weird?
No, I'm not around such people anymore.
That's the main thing, is you got to drop your friends who smoke marijuana. Drop them. It's the best thing you'll ever do in your life.
It's not just that. For me, there's a whole stigma attached to it. I see it as, I personally don't have a problem with it. I don't care if somebody wants to destroy their lives with it or not. It's none of my business. I don't have to butt my nose into it. But it's more like...
So you found out it wasn't good for you and you dropped it, and it wasn't a moral or ethical issue. It was a physical issue. You did the right thing, that's all. Now I want to go to something else kind of caller. Lance in Sacramento. This is a great caller coming up. Lance, you're up. Go ahead.
Dr. Savage, you're asking Moses about condensers for your mic?
Who else? Who else? Abraham, he doesn't call anymore. I don't hear from him.
Well, at least you've got one of them on the string there.
Yeah.
Important one.
Yeah, where is he when I need him now? Where is he?
So, Mike, you used to be really ragingly angry, and I would sort of worry about you. I've listened for a long time. And you're sort of like the Chernobyl meltdown, I think, where it was flaming and incandescent and really very dangerous and, you know, very active. And then and now it's just a seething mess, and it's still quite angry. See what I mean? It's just that it's lower key now, and everybody just stands back. And this must be why everybody in the media just stands back from you.
So which was better, the seething rage or the rage without the seething?
Well, the seething is more obvious, I think. But
right. That's right. In other words, anyone can make believe they're angry. I was really angry. But it's, I think it's better to pull it in and let people listen to you rather than just listening to the rage.
After it's melted and it's become vitreous and it just stays there and they send robots in to look at it, it has a kind of a poetic glory.
That's funny. That's a funny image.
Right.
So you don't find that I've mellowed at all? I mean, in the last few years that I've changed my tone?
I would say that you're trying to preserve your health because I'm sure that the same thoughts go through your head, but the body is unable to perform the gymnastics that require the...
No, the body can perform better than ever, more than I could at 17. I mean, with Viagra today, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, right. So that's what you're doing to make this show happen, huh?
But you're still listening, right?
Obviously. So I'm quite interested in the fact that you, apart from all else, on the subject of these bath salts, have actually named the chemical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you say it again?
No, it's too complicated, but it's not diethyl whatever.
It's not lysergic acid. It's,
no.
It's what, methylene deoxy, what did you say, pyrene?
Yeah, MDDBA or whatever. I mean, I could go look it up, but what's the point? It's toxic. It's toxic. I mean, we heard of flesh-eating bacteria. Look what we have now from LSD-type drugs.
Exactly. Now, what I'm very pleased about with your show is that you'll go to the science and actually name the chemical.
Yeah, but what's the difference? It just makes it, he knows, methylene, diethylene, hyethylene, diethylene, schmiethylene, diethylene, shalethylene, balethylene, Hail Mary. I mean, what's the good of it?
Well, the good of it is that you're still the University of Savage. You're providing
all right. If I really want to impress people, I could use my PhD, but I don't do that. What's the point? I think just plain old common sense works better. Lance, are you actually listening in Sacramento, California, or in the Bay Area?
I'm in the Bay Area.
Where?
I'm in the East Bay. I'm near a BART station, Walnut Creek.
But you're listening on a real radio or on an iPhone?
An actual old made in Japan.
Wow, that's like a Royal typewriter today. Well, that's very nice to hear from an old-time listener. Got the old-time religion here on the Savage Nation. LSD stories, pot horror stories.
Savage.
Driving that train, high on cocaine.
Meltdowns like ancient Rome, but worse. Instead of Caesars of Hollywood, we have, I can't say it, but welcome to the Savage Nation. So we're looking into bath salts drugs. The face eater from Miami was allegedly on a bath salt. And, I mean, to throw my PhD knowledge at you, the fact of the matter is you can look it up. It's a synthetic stimulant, MDPV. Okay, that's the initials, the acronym. But what does it mean? Methylene dioxy. Pyrovalerone. So let's break it down. It sounds like Greek to you, right? But it isn't. It's Latin. So let's start with it. Methylene dioxy pyrovalerone. What is valerone? Valerone is a component of valerian, a commonly available herb. Commonly available herb. Valerone is found in valerian. So it seems to me the chemists, the street chemists, are taking valerian and modifying by methylizing the valerian compound and turning it into the psychedelic Frankenstein, methylene dioxy pyrovalerone. What's interesting to me is that even in the heyday of my herbal knowledge and use and whatnot, I always steered clear of valerian. I never used it. I never liked it because it had a slight psychedelic effect upon me. I'm a super sensitive to foods, chemicals, drugs, perfumes, whatever. I have a super sense of smell and hearing. Never liked valerian. It made me feel very spacey, out of control. Never used it. I liked, for example, passion flower, which I recommended at the time I was in practice. For little children who had various problems, because passion flower is a totally different chemical structure. But the fact is, I never liked valerian. I never used valerian, never recommended valerian. And I'm telling you right now that by what I can put together on an intuitive, amateurish, first shot level, if I was just doing a seminar with you and someone said to me, Doc, what is this new bath salt drug that caused the face eater to go berserk? I said, well, what is it? It's methylene dioxy pyrovalerone. It seems to me it's a component of valerian, and the street chemists are modifying it and making it into this toxic poison. That's all. End of story. New York, WOR Clay, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Savage. You know what I did? Saw the dude Norm back in the days about 7 years ago, and I ain't never done the bath salts, but there's people in my neighborhood who do that stuff, but that salvia, that's unbelievable. I didn't realize what I was doing it. I thought I was smoking hookah tobacco.
When you use salvia, which is, by the way, a commonly available herb and very popular in some quarters, you said you used to use it or you don't anymore?
No, sir. I tried it once. I thought it was hookah tobacco. A friend of mine had it, and I tried it, and I thought it was hookah tobacco. I don't do drugs. Let me state that first.
But what was salvia like? What did it do to you?
Sir, I can't put it into words. It was like you're in a different dimension. You don't know what reality is. You hear noises. You see stuff that ain't there. You hear voices. I mean, it was, I don't know. You can't put it into context.
So in other words, if you take it, basically, you're becoming an easy victim for many, many, many con men, including the political type.
Very well possible. I mean, hey, you know, it's readily available. People are doing it. So, yeah, they watch enough TV, they probably learn some stuff thinking everything's all right.
Now, let me ask you something. Clay, you're a guy who's in a different world than I am, and yet you listen to my show on WOR in New York. What do you get from my show that you like?
Oh, man, wow. It's so, you know, it's weird. I like sometimes when you complain. I like when you complain.
Well, because it's human, and you never hear anyone in the media actually telling you what they're feeling, right?
No, you don't. You hear what their cue cards and their teleprompters are telling them.
Oh, so if I come in with a migraine, or I got nausea, or whatever, I got a hangover, a headache, you want to hear it?
Sir, even when you're hungover, migraine, any of the above, you could even probably come in buzzed.
I never come in buzzed. That's funny, Clay. That's interesting. Thank you. Well, that's an interesting answer. Salvia. It's a member of the mint family, and it is one of several genera commonly referred to as sage. What's interesting to me is that the common herbs in your herb cabinet are not so common. And if you go back to the ancient times when they were first introduced and first used historically, they were all medicines. Every one of those herbs in your herb cabinet are medicines. So when you say, oh, I'll put some of oregano on my pizza, or I'll put some sage on it, you're actually modifying your brain chemistry, but some of you may know that. Some of you may feel it and feel good from it. Or if you feel weird from something, you'll realize it's because the herb that you are putting on your pizza is scrambling your brain chemistry. So understand that everything is not as benign as it may look in the herb world. That's all you got to know. You have to know that. Genus, long ties to do this day and night, botanical, Latin, botany, pharmacology. I ate, slept, and drank it more than I do politics. I mean, I was so into this. It was my whole world. I wrote books on herbs. I traveled the world searching herbs. And that was then, this is now. Who knows, maybe that's what I'll do in the future. It's a fascinating world. Salvia. You've got to be very cautious what you put in your body. Pittsburgh, PA, Liz, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm pretty much burnt from smoking pot, and it is due to your station, to your radio program, that I now don't smoke anymore, and I truly believe that I am rebuilding my brain by using it to think in a better, positive way.
You know, it's interesting. I had a breakdown of my audience by station and by region and all of that. And New York is the biggest market that I have. You know that Pittsburgh is in the top five, which is very interesting because I'm on what station am I on in Pittsburgh right now? I know it's changed recently.
Yeah, 104.7.
So I'm on an FM station, and yet I have a big audience in Pittsburgh.
That's because it's very liberal here, and we need you really bad.
Well, you know, I lived in Pittsburgh for a while. I almost moved there, almost bought a house. The thing is, I love that city. People don't realize how beautiful that city is, and I'm not just saying it to butter you up. It's actually one of the most beautiful cities in the Midwest.
Sure, it's a melting pot. Everybody comes here, and a lot of people leave to go work elsewhere, but it seems like they always come back here to Pittsburgh. It's just beautiful. I love it here.
Well, I like the Italian community that I, you know, casually got to know through the restaurants, naturally me and food. I love the bridges. I remember once I was at a July 4th fireworks display on the river in Pittsburgh. It was stupendous. It was truly a piece of Americana. Anyway, you know, people say, oh, Pittsburgh, they think steel mills, like there's something evil with that to begin with. But the pollution is gone. They cleaned it up. It's a beautiful little city. It's gorgeous. It reminded me of San Francisco, by the way, in many ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of different styles of people that live here. We have a lot of Germans. I'm actually from Ireland, so there's a large Irish community here, and it's got
a very large Slavic community from the coal mining days, doesn't it?
Oh, the pierogi. Oh, my goodness. And all
yeah,
that.
I mean, you see men sitting around. They're like, if I were a painter, you saw men with the faces of the steel worker of 100 years ago, let's say, you know, the descendants of the old steel workers. I want to thank, by the way, my affiliate, WPGB 104.7 in Pittsburgh, for permitting me to save Liz from herself. Thank you, Liz. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Albany, New York. Paul, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Paul?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to tell you that, I did pot, did acid, did mushrooms, and followed the dead for a while. Then
you were a deadhead. Then what happened?
Well, then Jerry died. I came home, took a shower, and went on with my life. And also, my mother had found out that I did some drugs and broke her heart, and that actually kind of made me stop.
Well, wait a minute. When Jerry Garcia died, you didn't stop. You stopped because your mother found out you were using?
Yes.
And exactly. Did you stop immediately for her sake?
Oh, yes. Yep. As a matter of fact, when she told me how heartbroken she was over it, I, you know, got into a little argument. I walked out of the room and, you know, thought about it a couple hours, and I took what I had left, threw it down the toilet, took all my pipes and paraphernalia, threw them in the garbage, and have never looked back since.
How long has that been?
Let me see. It's got to be 15 years.
Wow. Oh, so you really kicked it.
Oh, yeah. I started when I was 14 years old.
And so it screwed your life up. There's no question about it.
There's no question about it. And
you know what? I don't understand how people think that marijuana is benign. You and I both know it's a psychedelic drug on a minor key in some regards. But there are some potent forms of marijuana out right now that are little like small acid trips.
Well, you know, you had said what all the chemicals that are in marijuana, and that was another thing that scared me. But I had been off it for a while.
You mean the ammonia and yes, and all of the free radicals that are produced by marijuana smoke, right? And you mean you're talking about when you heard this years ago?
Yes, and then you've said it recently, like within the past year or so, because I know you're tired of saying it. And I just hear that, and I just say to myself, what did I put in myself?
Well, all right, don't look back. It's like a kid who grew up eating corned beef sandwiches because he didn't know any better, and now he's like on tofu and, you know, a lean diet. You can't make up for what you did when you were five. I mean, I grew up on a very toxic diet. How did I know?
Exactly.
You know, I didn't know what I was eating as a kid. Nobody knew anything about food in those days, nothing. They thought the fattier and the richer it was, the better it was for a kid because they came from Europe where there was starvation. So they figured, wow, we're in America. Look at the bounty here in this country. Let's get more of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now you got to live like your grandfather did, who was starving in the Polish ghetto, if you want to live long.
And man.
I'm sorry to make a joke. I mean, truthfully, it's very interesting. He said if you want to live long, you got to live like one of your poor ancestors. When you think about it, it's an interesting phenomenon. But that's been well known. I mean, you know, gout, the rich man's disease, the toes swelled up from eating, you know, rich meats and liver and sweetbreads. And always the picture of the big fat guy, the Pickwickian guy with the big foot and the big toe. You know, wow, my foot hurts. Hey, interestingly enough, I'm going to tell you something else. Everyone thinks, oh, tofu, soybean, another like sacred. Oh, no, I don't eat meat. I'm into tofu. And okay, nothing wrong with it. But did you know if you suffer mild arthritis, did you know that soybeans will actually trigger an arthritic reaction and a gout reaction in many people? See, you don't understand. It's very complicated. You're having gout. And say, I don't understand it. I don't eat meat. I eat soy. It's the soy provoking it. I've studied all of this stuff inside and out, and many, many things that are counterintuitive to what you are being told and what you would think are good for you or bad for you. I'm not suggesting going back to meat and potatoes, although I'm not too far from that lately. I actually feel better eating meat and potatoes than I have in years. I'm experimenting. Because during this time of year, I hate to get into it, I'm a severe allergy sufferer. So this time of year is really murder for me. It's awful. I mean, it's Sufferville. everything. I could smell things from like 100, 200, 300 yards away in the flower world. I hate it. Like I'm in L.A., the jasmine are in bloom on this property. My eyes are tearing. My ears are ringing. My throat hurts. What are you going to do? I'm going to tell my host to cut his plants down. So you don't say anything. But the fact is, I can't even eat certain foods this time of year that I could eat in the winter. I don't drink this time of year. I can't even drink more than a half a beer. You can't drink when you have allergies. So it's like I have no outlets at this particular point. However, I'm very, very desirous to tell you to watch out for tofu if you have arthritis of any kind, and especially if you have any kind of gout. Do not eat tofu. I'm not telling you to go eat meat and potatoes, but you have to understand that tofu can provoke it. It's got to do with uric acid, and tofu will provoke a uric acid the production of uric acid, excuse me. It's the same with niacin. Many of you don't even understand that if you're taking large doses of niacin to reduce your cholesterol, you're also producing a lot of uric acid from the niacin, which is why your joints hurt from it. So many things, you fix yourself in one area, and you harm yourself in another. So you don't know what to do anymore. People don't know what to do. It's very complicated, and it's very individualistic. So that's why I was off this weekend. I got out the van, which I love, the Chevy van, the conversion van, a 2005. We put aside the fancy car. So my friend and I, this guy's very big conservative, and he's also very reclusive, and he runs a big website. Nice guy, really nice guy. So he has a dog. He loves me now because after all these years of knowing me, he met Teddy about a year ago, and he went and got a dog. And he's changed his life. Loves the dog. The dog's the most important new thing in his life. And a guy's over 60, never had a dog in his whole life. So he comes over. I took the cover off the van. We get in the van, and we go to get hamburgers and French fries for ourselves and the dogs. He was embarrassed. I said, hey, don't be embarrassed. I said, just make believe it's a normal Memorial Day weekend. No one knows you or me from a hole in the wall. I said, like a Brady Bunch van, so what? You know what? The dogs love the junior burger, no salt and pepper. I love the chicken sandwich. I get the fish sandwich with no the jacket I throw in the garbage. And then you eat the fake bread. What could be better? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Oh, no, no special music. Methylene dioxypyrovalerone, listeners, be careful now. You're going to become a human flesh-eating bacteria. 1-800-449-8255. We started with all sorts of things, and we wound up with marijuana stories, horror stories, how it ruined your life. Then we went to LSD stories that ruined your life. Then we went to salvia stories. And then I went to soybean, which people think are necessarily better for you than meat because meats are evil. You know that. All liberals think meat is evil. And so they're like, oh, yeah, I'm on soy. Well, they don't realize that soy products can cause high uric acid in the blood, and this can provoke arthritic pains. It can provoke, gout-like reactions in people. So, you know, you have to study these things and not just listen to people in health food stores. Just because the woman has a mustache does not mean she's knowledgeable about food products. John in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, much, much, much thanks to you and the great Holy One of Israel, for you have gathered 30 of us so far, and the number keeps growing. We have Savage Nation parties every Friday night, and everybody brings all sorts of food, and we gather around and listen to you, and we give much, much thanks for you, and we pray.
Oh, my God, where? Like, what part of New York do you do the parties?
Yes, sir. Rockland County, New York, right outside of New York City.
That doesn't really count. It's not like a borough. No, I'm joking. Come on. But so what do? You listen to the radio while eating?
Oh, we listen to the radio. You make us all laugh, and laughter is the cure of many illnesses. And you are actually restoring a lot of people's health because laughter is the best medicine. And we.
Yeah, but what if I can't be funny on a Friday? What if I don't feel good? What if I have bad allergies or something's wrong? Will you still listen?
It takes over. And we just keep praying for you and giving much thanks for you because you have blessed us with much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, look, here's John. What I want you to do and everyone else who listens to the show, go to michaelsavage.com. On the bottom left, you can click on there and get onto my newsletter, a free...
Dr. Savage, can we get a few hacks sent out?
A few hacks? They're very easy to find. Just dial a 911 and ask for a taxi. You want, like, free Savage Nation hats?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That would be.
The young man who works for me was cleaning out my office today, and he went through it. There were boxes of hats, boxes of old videotapes, audio tapes, and they were all sent to storage. I don't even have them. You have to buy them through my website. I don't make any money on any of this. I'm not Bill O'Reilly. He sells rugs and he sells wigs. I can't believe the things and people selling talk radio for a dollar here. I never saw anything like it. The special Bill O'Reilly doormat, the special buy this, you got the shoe, the special conservative shoe, the handshake. You get the special handshake booklet for $19.95. This talk show will show you how to shake a hand and show you're a conservative to a stranger. You take your index finger and you move it in his hand, and you move it the other way, and the guy knows that you're a member of the conservative, and you don't have to say anything. Are you kidding me? Mats and hairdos and your mustache remover. Everything is a buck attached to the. I'm going to get 800-449-8255. I mean, the food business now and the floor mat business. That's what I'm talking about. New York, Sean, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I was wondering, there's a grocery store in this area. It's pretty expensive. I don't want to name them, but they charge, everything's a dollar more, no matter what, in terms of, the fruit and everything for organic. Is that just a...
This is an interesting question. I tend to like organic fruits and vegetables, which I buy in California. If they have certified organic, I tend to trust them. But there's con men in every business, Sean. And it's very difficult to know whether they're truly organic or not. Is it worth it? To me, it is, because I don't want chemicals if I can avoid them. I do not want to ingest chemicals in my lettuce. I can taste the difference. More or less, I can taste bitterness in a lettuce and tell if it's been sprayed or not. I would suggest you look into it. Certified is good.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Time in my life. I hated the Beatle years. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I was stuck in a low-paying city job as a welfare worker. Everybody had long hair and was having a good time. No, it was horrible. I mean, everybody wanted to be like a Beatle, right, in those days. But what if you had to, take the subway to work and you wore a raincoat from Brooks Brothers that was, soot-ridden from the subway? I mean, we weren't very good years. So on the weekend, you get rid of the raincoat and you make believe, I was a Woodstock child. It was horrible. It was a horrible time to be a regular, normal working guy. But the fact is, here we are, thousands of years later. One of them is dead. The rest of them are corpses, and you're still living. So we've been talking about various and sundry here on the Savage Nation. If you've just joined us, I'm sorry to tell you, you've missed an amazing hour. The first hour is astonishing. And, we talked about the face eater in Miami and what he was on, MDPV, methylene dioxypyrovalerone, and I just told you it's probably being made by illegal street chemists from valerian. I don't know if that's so, but I'm guessing it's so, given my background in pharmacology, especially phytochemistry. I would think that's what they're using as a starter compound, but who knows? I'm so not into this. And that's it. And then we went into foods, and I warned you against soy. Many of you think soy is better than meat. You don't realize that soy produces high levels of uric acid. It could be worse for you than meat. Like just now, for example, during the break, I went into the radio refrigerator, which are probably If you wanted to get a PhD in microbiology, you couldn't do better than sampling foods from a radio refrigerator. Ask anyone in the business. Whatever you touch, you could probably discover a new organism. And there's no question about it. You could name it for yourself. Like if you know, you don't even know. It's funny. Like the years I was into botany and biology. Let's say your last name is Schwartz. Your name is Jonathan Schwartz, and you're a scientist. So you find a new bug. Okay, you name it for yourself. Its name is Jonathan. It's the bug is called Schwartzii. The species is Schwartzii. There's a lot of that. His name for the it was so egotistical. You don't know the science is filled with that. Many of the names are based on people's names who discovered the organism, whether it be in the animal world or the plant world. Schwartzii. I don't think there's actual Schwartzii. Let's say Obama had become a plant hunter instead of a community organizer. And now he was teaching plant biology at Harvard. And he went to, let us say, Fiji. And he was looking to find a new medicinal plant. And he found one, let's say, never seen before. And he took it back to the lab, did the analysis. It's a hard one to say. It would be known as Obama-I. It's a very hard one to use, you know. Not very good. But Pelosi, that would be a hard one. If she was a chemist and she discovered a new plant chemical, Pelosi-I, for example. That's an easy one. If your name ends in a vowel, you got it made. Pelosi-I. Pelosi-I. You know what I'm saying? That's how it works. It's not an insult. I'm just explaining how science works. Many people named various animals and plants for themselves, or bugs even. Bugs. Garcii. Carteri. Let's say he found a new peanut, Jimmy Carter. Carteri. Jimmy Carter. The species would be, the genus would be a peanut species, and then this genus would be a genus for a peanut, and then the species would be Carterii, that kind of thing. So let's say in all of his trips to South America, Sean Penn, to worship the dictator down there, right? So if he discovered something new on a wall when he was, let's say, relieving himself on a wall in the dictator's country, and he took it back to the lab, it would be Pennii. That's how it works. Because that reminds me of a guy, I love this guy in chemistry. I can't mention his name. I don't even know if he's living or dead. I hope he's living. He was a nice guy. He was a like a botanist. So he told us a famous story. I'm warming you, and you're coming in the tent now. Audience, savage audience, I'm bringing you into the tent. I'm warming you up with stories before we get political here. And so this botany professor of mine, I really love this man. He was a nice man, very friendly. He suffered Pickwickian syndrome, which is that he would fall asleep in the middle of a lecture on his feet and didn't know he was sleeping. He would be up there saying, well, the methylene is connected to the deoxypyro, and the pyro attaches to the, and stop and stand there and fall asleep in a classroom, and no one would say a word. Nevertheless, he was a very interesting teacher of doctoral students. He told us a famous story when he went to Ireland or Scotland to a conference, as academicians like to do. They like to go to castles in the sky that are paid for by the idiot taxpayer. Of course, they could do it by the internet. They could have done it by postal service in those days. But anyway, it was a junket. The university paid for it through a federal grant. And he said, in the basement of this old Scottish or Irish castle, there was what's known as a peeing wall downstairs where they, you know, relieved themselves. Now, being a scientist, this guy was very curious. So he was downstairs with the other scientists doing what men do in such a place. And he noticed an odd green growth on the wall, which he thought was an unusual species of plant. So he got a petri dish, came back, took it off the wall with some kind of device, put it in a petri dish, and it turns out he did discover a new species on the peeing wall in this Irish castle. It shows you science can be very interesting. I mean, it's not a devious state, nothing like that. Everyone will take it the wrong way. He said something dirty. How dare you? It's an insult to the Irish people. How dare you insult the heritage of Ireland? He took a castle and he perverted him. Those right wingers, those in the end, those knuckle dragging. Yeah, here we are. Here we are. Look at this already, what's going on in the world. It's 13 minutes after the hour. They're lined up. The lights are on. The telos is flashing. One of the actors said, you know, listening to what you're telling me today at lunch, he said, we should get Adam Sandler to do a movie about Michael Savage, like his life, where he plays me. In almost a comedic role, would you believe that? I told him what goes on in my life a little bit, like between radio, like what's going on in the background, the foreground, the central ground, the upper ground, the lower ground, the subterranean homesick blues, that kind of thing. He loved it. He said, you got to do a movie about you. I said, why can't you do a movie with me in it? So I said, listen, here's what I want to do. I want to change gears now. I said, let's say I do a small role as an actor, here's what I want to do. I want to play a mean lawyer. My goal is to play a vicious liberal lawyer in a movie. They loved it. They cracked up. They said, but you're a conservative. I said, yeah, but I understand how mean, vicious lawyers from Brooklyn. I mean, I know them from linoleum days, from seltzer bottle days. I understand how their minds got warped by their ILGWU uncle. You know what I'm saying? Instead of the guy being an absolute pervert, the guy was worse. The guy was a political pervert. They warped these kids' minds, and they went to law school. Look what they've done to this country. Now, it goes back to what I said. I'm sitting at dinner last night, Beverly Hills, outdoors, and there's this guy talking. I heard about it later because my guest wouldn't let me hear him. He talked over, talking about how Obama's being picked on because he's black and how Romney's evil. I said, I cannot believe they're still doing that. Break. You need to hear this. I've told you there are three types of people. There are those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Well, which kind of person are you? You see, because in tough economic times, tough people are the type that make things happen, like Jenny. And this is her income at home story. Here's what she says. Jenny says, I spent my life working in the corporate world with far too little time with my kids. Then out of the blue, I got laid off. I was looking for a job when I learned about incomeathome.com. I ordered my decision pack, got a call from my coach, and got started. In my first full month, Jenny says she made $1,300, and she's on her way to making more than she's ever made. She says she does it around her family's needs. Now, some earn less than that, but many earn more, and some a lot more. Go to incomeathome.com to see the results you can expect. You can earn money right now from your kitchen table. Your age or education does not matter. So make it happen for you and your family at incomeathome.com. That's incomeathome.com. Write it down, incomeathome.com. Methylene dioxypyrovalerone. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Got a little too chemical, medicinal, foodish. How much can I say Obama and Romney? How many times can I say it? Obama, 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 Obama. Obama, Obama. Searching the dial for something political. Obama, Obama, Obama. Communist, communist. Jeremiah Wright. Evil, 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 evil. Evil priest. Evil, 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 evil priest. Evil priest, evil priest, Judas priest, Judas priest, the priest is in. Priest is in, Judas priest, evil priest, evil priest, evil priest. Obama, 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 communist, 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 communist. Trickle down tyranny tells it all. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's go to New York City for the caller up in the number two slot from WOR. Pat, what's on your mind, Pat?
Hi, doctor. My girlfriend, two or three days before she gets her period, she's just like a raging lunatic. Is there any natural substance that would help?
Yes, yes, another girlfriend.
Well, is there anything I could do?
I've read it for years. B6, B, be that. There's nothing. If there was anything that really cured it, don't you think everybody would take it? Then you wouldn't have women. What I'd like to know is, how is this going to work out for the all-female submarine crew that Obama just christened the other day? How does that work out? I mean, we're supposed to believe women and men are the same. We all know it's not true. How does that work on a submarine?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good question. Oh, you raised the question. Wait a minute, we're all equal? Men and women have the same physiology? That's a lie. We all know that. So you make an all-female submarine crew? That's not going to be a problem? Are you crazy? Okay, so let's convert one of the missile tubes into an all-female sauna bath so they feel good. I mean, are you crazy? Who comes up with this stuff? Obama. Obama, the man who's wrecked the military, destroyed NASA, wrecked the economy. Obama, 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 Obama. Obama, MDPV is not as dangerous, believe me, as OBAMA. Orlando, Florida. Gene, you're on the Savage Nation.
Well, I just want to welcome you back to Orlando on your new affiliate. I found you. I've missed you tremendously.
Wait a minute. I used to be on the old one, which I can't say. What's the new one?
1188 a.m. I just stumbled across.
Oh, that's nice. So you lose some, you gain some. Just when one door closes, another door opens. Well, the beauty, Gene, here's the thing. How did you find me on the new station? You turned the dial, right?
Yes, I just I systematically go through the dial from time to time. And
a lot of people tell me that that's how they find me. If I lose one station, I gain another. They just turn the dial because no one has a voice like mine.
No, I noticed it tremendously. I was tremendously happy.
Yeah, I mean, I have a baritone. The other guy sounds like a castrato, the guy on the other station.
The other guy's annoying.
The other guy's like a castrato, you know, he wants to sound tough. Like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without, you know, anesthesia. But definitely a castrato. Thank you very much for calling from Orlando. Interesting city unto itself. Who would think there's crime? Yes, there is much crime. Sacramento, California. My favorite city near San Francisco, because it's my only affiliate in the area. Drew, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Drew? Oh, you live in the Jerry Brown District. Great.
And a privilege. Can you hear me?
Yes. How do you live up there? I mean, Sacramento is probably a cesspool of idiocy.
Well, a daily dose of Savage keeps testosterone levels up high, keeps my manly fortitude strong. I got to tell you, the reason I listen to you is because you speak to the nation as a father, and you say things that a younger person may not want to accept because it's contrary to, you know, following your impulses, things that are good. But like a father who only wants the very best, and that doesn't necessarily mean money. That's more like going forth, being fruitful, prosperous, having a large family, having virtue and honor. Those are the reasons I listen to you.
Beautiful. So you listen because you hear family values, which have become dirty words. Even Romney doesn't ever say the word family values. Remember, at least when Bush ran, he said, I'm running under a family values banner. Notice that that's been killed by the radical perverse left. They can't even say family values anymore.
Yes, but see, it's something more than that, Savage. What you do is like you have this strength. I mean, you have a certain tonal quality of your voice that I consider a marshalling ability. I would say you're probably one of the few people in the world that can.
No, I wouldn't do that. It's a terrible burden, by the way, I would imagine, on a military commander to send men into combat, in that they know that some of them are going to die, and they have that on their conscience. But that's a military man. It's a whole different story, but I would like you to understand that we are in combat right now in the United States of America. There is no question in my mind, the more I see what Obama's doing, even with the presidential medal that he gave to this Dolores Huerta, she's an out-there communist, and it goes right by the media like they don't even understand what he just did. They don't even understand it. It's in plain sight. This guy is actually one of the most clever presidents in American history, what he can get away with, and how people don't even see what he's doing in plain view. That's amazing to me.
It is. I mean,
it's like Mao Zedong takes over a country and starts giving out medals and awards, the Stalin Prize, and no one even sees what he is doing because he does it with such charm that he gets away with it. And of course, he owns the media, that you well know. I mean, with half men like Wolf Blitzer and the others in the media, he can get away with it. And now you understand why talk radio is targeted. You understand why this medium, by the way, is absolutely under assault. This medium is not going to be around much longer, so far as I can tell. Not the way it is today. The freedoms that you are hearing today on the AM band are going to be gone in a very, very, very brief interval of time, in my opinion.
I agree with you, Savage. I think I just want the America that I used to know, the America that rolled heavy and hard, not like this pacifist Islamic worshiping. It's not the strong nation that I felt it was when I was growing up. Like you used
to say,
it
wasn't.
You know,
look at our military commanders, as good as they are as men, as brave as many of them are, look how they have been muted by the political system, and that started long before Obama. Look at what they've done to our Marines, for example, with false accusations. Look what they do to people who stand up for the country, go out there, kill the enemy as they're supposed to. If, God forbid, they break a rule, they wind up in Fort Leavenworth for the rest of their life. I mean, it's a shocker that they get away with this because there's no media anymore. There's no media. No one cares about anybody anymore.
It
Look, we are at war right now, and we have a communist takeover of this government, as sure as I'm standing here. As archaic as that sounds, that is exactly what has happened in this country. But it's been done by stages. That's number one. And Obama has not yet shown all of his cards. That will come in the second term if, and God forbid it happens, he wins again. And it's just liable to happen with this moderate Romney campaign. The more moderate Romney is, the less likely he's going to win. The only way Romney can win is by becoming more forceful. Remember what my hero said, okay? Remember that? Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Remember that, Barry Goldwater? I am still praying for Romney to show a dollop of Goldwater. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny in order to act as a cross before vampires in Sacramento.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
Barry Goldwater, my political hero, God help us that we don't have another man like him. The election was stolen from him, you know that. Here's an amazing story. I can't believe this. I hope it's not true. It's from the Telegraph in England. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg left no tip after Rome lunch. I cannot believe it. He may be worth $20 billion, but when Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg took his new wife to lunch during their secret honeymoon in Rome, he spent just 32 euros and did not leave a tip. I can't believe this. Now, wait. This is me. And I didn't make any of this up. I'm reading it cold. The owners of the kosher restaurant in Rome's Jewish ghetto were surprised when Mr. Zuckerberg walked away without leaving a gratuity. That'd be like reading an Irishman goes to Ireland and has lunch and doesn't have a beer. Their bill came to just 32 euros after lunch consisting of deep-fried artichokes, a Roman Jewish specialty. That's odd. I never heard of that. Fried pumpkin flowers and ravioli stuffed with sea bass and artichokes. Instead of wine and beer, they opted for a bottle of water and a pot of tea. Okay. And then waiters at Nona Bita, which specialize in Roman Jewish cuisine, were amazed by Mr. Zuckerberg's parsimony. I like that, parsimony. It's almost like parsley. Not just because of his huge wealth, but because of America's reputation for tipping generously, as is expected of them at home. It was not a case of not enjoying the meal, said the owner of the restaurant. Quote, I asked him, how was it? And he said, very good, the owner. I'm doing like a Fellini movie. I asked him, how was it? And he said, very good. The owner identified only as Umberto told Corriere della Sera newspaper. I had gone up to him and said, are you? And he said, yes. It was not the first time that the multi-billionaire chose not to tip. Oh, God. He reportedly did the same thing the night before at Pierluigi, a historic trattoria near Campo dei Fiori, a piazza in the heart of Roma. The couple's honeymoon was a closely guarded secret until a Polish tourist spotted them in the Sistine Chapel, snapped a blurry photograph, and posted it on Twitter. True to his casual style, the young internet tycoon was wearing jeans, a T-shirt, and trainers. Why does he get an outfit already? He doesn't have to put on the T-shirt anymore. They left Rome on Monday with speculating they might be heading towards the Amalfi Coast south and they'll be heading back to the U.S. Mr. Zuckerberg, 20, whose shares on Facebook are worth nearly $20 billion, married his long-term girlfriend on May 19th in Palo Alto, California, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to read any more about the wedding. He married her after the, because of the, you know, the prenup thing. Ms. Chan just graduated from medical school at UCSF. Couple met while at Harvard. Smart lady. You know what kind of prenup she must have signed. Imagine that one. Like six. That prenup must be as long as General Electric's tax form. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg left no tip after Rome lunch. How is that possible? The guy's cheap on top of it all? That's amazing. €2, €3. Scarfio Giovoia. One Fiori di Zucca. One Ravioli Carciofo. Two penne. €3. Here's why. You see, this is, okay, I just got it. Totale Eva Inclusa. It includes the tip, man. They're trying to make him cheap. See, this is sensationalism. He didn't tip because it's in the bill already. It says Inclusa. Inclusa. IVA Inclusa. So they wanted him to tip because he's rich and an American. They should tip more. Why? Why should he tip more? He's going to need it for all of the lawsuits he's going to have over the next 300 years. Look at them eating there. Schnurrer. They look like in Cats is the same thing, the picture. But I guess him, he's a kosher restaurant in Rome. You think it's any different? It's a bunch of schnurrers who are talking Italian instead of speaking like they're from New York.
Love the fried zucchini, but how is good today? It's not...
What is it? Deep-fried artichokes. Who would eat a thing like that? It's fried food. You don't have to eat in haste fried food that's greasy. 1-800-4... Facebook crashes below $30 in worst IPO in a decade, but he's enjoying himself. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg unable to withdraw cash in Italy on Italy honeymoon. Really? Wow. Apple chief Tim Cook hints at end to Facebook feud. I didn't even know there was a feud. I want to see how he can't withdraw cash. Why not? Let's see this stupid story. As the creator of Facebook, he has been hailed as internet genius, but Mark Zuckerberg is apparently flummoxed on his honeymoon in Italy by a rather more basic piece of technology, a cash machine. He couldn't withdraw. What did he go to the Vatican Bank and there was no money there? He went to a cash machine owned by the Vatican, and there was nothing left. There was nothing left. It had been transferred to Brazil. I mean, what is this? The 28-year-old multi-billionaire was able to access his vast personal fortune when he tried to withdraw money from cash point on the island of Capri. Da-da-da. Open top tax and have lunch at the Da Giorgio alone. Then they found a nearby ATM machine owned by Banca della Campania in a whitewashed alcove. A haunt of Hollywood celebrities. Oh, wow. Oh, Hollywood celebrities. Ooh. A video shot by a passerby showed Mark Zuckerberg looking at the cash machine quizzically and asking advice from a fellow tourist before abandoning the attempt to withdraw money and walking away. Cash machines in Italy are frequently out of service. Oh, yeah, that's a joke. Yeah, and we're out of money. Go away. Come back another time. The guy actually sticks his head out like in the old automat. In Italy, like if I imagine if you put your card in, go away, we're out of money. The guy actually talks to you through the chute, like you see a pair of eyes. Hey, get out of here, kid. Bust your face. There's no cash. Get out of here. Take a walk. Cash machines in Italy are frequently out of service, but the Naples-based bank insisted that it was functioning normally right. Sure. Oh, yeah, we're going to believe the banker in Naples. Yeah, Naples, the center of truth. The couple shared a main course at the restaurant in Capri, blah, blah, blah. Again, he left no tip. Because it's covered. It's in. It's inclusive-o. Umberto Pavoncello said the failure to leave a tip for lunch would cost 26 euros. Was of no consequence, and he said he was considering naming one of the restaurant's signature dishes deep-fried courgette flowers after Mr. Zuckerberg. That's funny. He wrote on the website of his restaurant that he would like to make the internet guru an honorary nephew. Blah, blah, blah. I expected he to fail to leave a tip because he was in a hurry. All right. No, it's because it was included. I can do even another joke, but this is a radio show. You got Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Ms. Chen, and they leave no tip? You do the rest of the joke, okay? 1-800-449-8255. Life is very interesting if you actually watch what's going on. You don't need methylene dioxypyrovalerone to get a laugh. Chris in California, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, I told your screener there that I work in the golf business, and Bill Gates belongs to a real nice private club out there in Palm Springs, and it's a well-known fact out there that he's very cheap. Doesn't tip anybody out there.
Well, we can't confirm or deny that, but I have heard many, many stories about various celebrities who don't tip, by the way. So Mark Zuckerberg, if he really didn't tip, either on purpose or because he thought it was included. You know, it's nothing unusual in that. I don't understand the penny pinching. I overtip. I always overtip, even though they don't know me. You know why? Because I've been a waiter. I've been a busboy. I've hauled garbage. I've had very bad jobs in my life. And I tip in McDonald's, for God's sakes. You know that? I do. I leave them a few dollars. They don't even believe it. If I give them the money, they don't even know what to do with it. It's so sad. The poorest of the poor won't even take a tip when you give it to them. You know that, Chris?
I didn't know that. No.
No, it's sad. If I go to McDonald's, let's say the bill is like $19.48. I give her $21. She doesn't understand I'm leaving her a tip because no one does that. Because you got to feel bad for them. Why shouldn't you give them a $1.50? Was it hurt you? These people live on pennies, you know? What else do you want to talk about? I got a migraine today to beat the band. I don't know what it is. Maybe the flowers, not zucchini. I didn't have zucchini flowers last night. I did tip. Is God punishing me because I didn't tip enough or what? I think it's the allergies. These the jasmine. Awful. I got this big dinner tonight. Thank God the books arrived. Yes, I didn't tell you. My publisher saved the day. They didn't arrive this morning for the breakfast meeting, lunch meeting. But tonight I'm putting on a little dinner for like 10 people in a Beverly Hills Italian restaurant. I will not have fried zucchini. I will not have anything with tofu in it. I will have nothing with cheese. No Parmigiano. I won't have wine. What am I going there for? I can't eat a thing. I'm thinking about it. Well, one thing I'm not going to have is the gluten-free pasta. I'll tell you that. Tonight I'm going to get pasta with extra gluten so I can sleep. I'm going to say, give me extra gluten pasta, please. I don't understand this. What do I have pasta for? It's supposed to make me tired and sleepy. The beer, why are beer selections so bad? I'm a beer drinker. I can drink beer, right? It's garbage. It's like Corona and Heineken. Heineken is sweet. You can die from it. I can't drink it. I drink Beck's, by the way. They don't advertise. They should, but I love Beck's beer because it's dry. Most beers are very sugary because they're made for the third world, most of these beers. And people and girls like light beer that are sweet, by the way. And that's where it came. It's like why the Chardonnay became bad in California. Ask anyone in the wine business. It happened 20 years ago. As women started to drink, they had to modify the wine so they became sweeter. They had that creamy, horrible taste. You know, it tastes like cream soda with alcohol in it. That's why I don't drink wine anymore. It's hard to get wine that isn't, you know, sappy, sweetie, sugary ecology. It's like Ripple. It's all like Ripple with a fancy label and a heavy price. So I like beer. You can't get a good beer. Everyone, Peroni. Peroni, the worst beer in the universe. The worst. You talk about headache. I had one Peroni in my life once. What is a Peroni? Why would you want Peroni when you could buy a German beer? Right? I mean, the Germans started the whole thing. They started the beer game. Right? Like, Bavarian purity law is good. The Bavarian purity brew. The Bavarian purity law. It's really interesting. The hops and they're good, and you know, not only you got barley malt and schmally malt. I like a tart beer, but not an ale. I don't like ale at all. It's fake. Most of the ales have fake flavors, by the way. They're flavor enhancers. It's like Lipton tea with certain flavor enhancers. You don't want flavor enhancers. The only tea I like is Earl Grey. I don't care what's wrong with you. There's nothing that Earl Grey tea wouldn't cure. Amazing stuff. Only one brand. I only use one. I'm not going to mention it. It's in a foil package. Otherwise, it's terrible. It balances your body out, Earl Grey tea. I don't know what it is. I know that it's antibacterial. That I know. Very good for you. Your grandmother was right. Drink tea. Have tea and lemon. You have a sore throat? Tea and lemon and honey. You have a headache? Tea, lemon, and a cognac. You know, you add to it. You start with your tea, and then you add according to the ailment. You're not feeling good? Have tea and lemon and methylene, dioxypyrovalerone. You won't feel anything. You'll be totally crazy, and you'll be a living, flesh-eating bacteria. I'll be right back. Savage.
Three coins in the fountain.
The song goes out to Ms. Chen and Mr. Zuckerberg in Italy. I hope they're enjoying their honeymoon.
Thrown by three hopeful lovers.
Well, maybe they were saving their tip for the Fountain of Trevi. Who knows?
The fountain bled.
I just got an email from Joseph Farah, who owns WND. All right, guys, knock off the music. They can't hear me. They can't multitask my audience. They're from another generation, by and large. If they hear music and I'm talking, they're brain fries. It's worse than MDPV. Joe says, great story. I tipped a valet today $5, and he thanked me and said, that's more than Zuckerberg tipped in Rome. He's not kidding. I mean, it's starting to happen. Apparently, the story's getting around. Here's another one from Art Moore, who posts my website for me. Art says, IVA inclusa refers to the national value-added tax. That's Obama's dream. And tipping in Italy, a service charge, servizio, is usually included in the price of the food, although it's sometimes a separate item. You may also see a non-optional cover charge on your bill. Tipping is a delicate matter in Italy. In some places, particularly rural areas, it's not welcome. In others, if you leave a tip, it's commonly a few coins, perhaps up to 5% of the service is good, 10% for terrific service. Confusing. That's why I don't travel. I don't travel. Nothing works. I like to know my area code, my zip code. I like to know how my internet works. I can't take it anymore. Everything you have to know enough. So maybe Zuckerberg thought it was in with Inclusa. He doesn't speak Italian. What does he know? He knows nothing. He went to Harvard and made billions of dollars. That's good. That's very good. That's, what a stereotype, though. It's awful. Just as I'm saying, it's embarrassing. First, we had Madoff. Now we have Zuckerberg. Where, whatever happened to, like, the Jonas Salk of the people? Where'd they go? What happened? Where did it, now it's like the Madoff crook. Zuckerberg, we don't know whether he was involved or not with you know, the underwriters. It's just not good. And the, where's Jonas Salk? Where's Albert Einstein? They don't exist anymore. What are they all invented? Spielberg instead of Einstein. Right? I mean, it's a frightening thing to think about. No wonder the kids are going crazy. There's no one to look up to. Okay, I made my point. Facebook couldn't work the machine. This is awful. And his new wife, Priscilla Chan, Amalfi, so is that predictable? Like that kind of honeymoon? Amalfi Coast? Island of Capri? Is that boring? Shows you there's no imagination here. You know, think about what I'm saying. What is interesting about going to the island of Capri? You know, it was interesting thousands of years ago. That was about it. It was on the Isle of Capri when I met. I mean, you got nicer islands in the Caribbean. It's just clogged with people from Germany and Sweden. Why would you go there? What kind of imagination does it take to go to the Isle of Capri? Oh, great. And I ate in a kosher restaurant in Rome. That's exciting. Why don't you just go to Manhattan and eat, you know, have a corned beef sandwich? You would have been better off. In Katz's. With all those old big French fries that I ate as a kid. Each French fry was the size of like a slipper. Like a big man's slipper. I mean, there were big French fries in those days. Remember my mother, God rest her soul, she used to like the big Frankfurters called specials. I didn't know what a special was. It was like a Frankfurter, like the size of a sausage. Like poison. My father would never eat them. He died young. She lived for 88. Though he told me what went into Frankfurters, he wouldn't eat them because they said, if you don't know, there's things that fall on the floor in the slaughterhouse they put in the hot dog. Ugh. I never trusted a ballpark dog after that. Pickle, he would tell me, don't eat a pickle. Why? What's wrong with a pickle? If you saw the rats in the pickle barrels, he would tell me. I said, where's the rat in the pickle barrel? I've been over there where they make the pickles, he told me. Across the street, there was a store that made pickles. He would say, the rats in the pickle barrel. I never ate a pickle again. I mean, I eat them once in a while, but I wash my pickles for imagine having like a fanatic fear of a pickle now and of a salami and a hot dog. So it's amazing. $120 summer trip to Santa Lucia, the Eden of the Caribbean. They could keep the whole place. Eden. What an Eden. Your brain could rot down there. There's nothing to see. Here, Southeast Asia escorted tour. I love when you see a story, the ads are connected to it, the Google ads. $1,299 air plus 9-night fully escorted tour of London. Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, let me get that ticket. Let me go to London. What an exciting country that is. If you say a word, you get arrested. 300 Bourbon Street or New Orleans. That's great. See alcoholics and drug addicts. Fully escorted tour of India and Nepal. Come back with the runs. Why go? I don't see why anyone wants to go anywhere. What's there? You've seen it all. You go on the internet. You've been there. See, I'm ruined. I spent my formative young years really traveling for a purpose. Otherwise, no point to it. You travel either for a wedding, a funeral, or let's say, if you're a scientist, you're traveling for an archaeological dig or for a business purpose, I could understand travel. It's a stress. Travel is a big stress. Ask anyone who really knows. Most people hate it. They hate it. Most people, oh, I don't want to go there. Where were you? I was in China. Well, it was exciting. Yeah, you went to Hanoi. How exciting? No, it was horrible. A terrible place. Terrible. Well, you were going to sleep. I was getting up. When you were getting up, I was going to sleep. I don't know which way I'm going. I took a special pill. I don't know where I am. The food was horrible. They say it's clean. It isn't. I didn't trust them. I had to take this medication, that medication. You never went to a Chinese hospital. Don't even think about it. The two times I almost died were in Asia. I mean, from food. I told you, it's horrible. I will never go to Asia again. I mean, it's personal. It's a very personal thing. I once almost died in Japan from chicken. That's number one. You'd say, Japan, it's clean. Not where I got the chicken from, like an airport kiosk. My fault. I should have known better. I don't even like chicken because of it. Then in Thailand, in Chiang Mai, oh, my God. I was so sick, I turned green at night in the room. I was near death. It was a near-death experience. So they came up and they said, you want to take him to the hospital? Mrs. S. sat over me like I was going to, she said, over my dead body. She wouldn't let anyone in the room. She said, if they take you to a hospital, I'll take your kidneys out. It's true. It's a true story. I lived through the night. I sweated through, you know, the delirium. It was like that movie where he goes upriver and he has a hallucination in the room. All night. If you had food poisoning, it's frightening. You think you're dying. Woke up in the morning. The delirium passed. The fever passed. I ordered pizza from the hotel kitchen. She said, what are you, crazy? And I said, no, it's the only thing I want is pizza and I want chopped garlic. I ate pizza and chopped garlic. I was better within a day. Do you know that the next day, as sick as I was, I gave a lecture to Muslim women? I almost fainted on the stage and no one knew it. I'm a real trooper.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You got to hear some of this audio, including White House Press Secretary Jay Carney having the audacity to say President Obama has the authority to have a kill list.
Back in 2008 in the campaign, the president was pretty explicit about saying he was going to prosecute the war on terror a lot differently from President Bush, that he had a much less muscular view of executive power. And so I wonder, as a constitutional law professor, he could square the idea that he has a kill list and is killing people who could be as young as 17 years old for suspected of being terrorists.
President Obama made clear from the outset of his administration that we were at all times going to act in a manner that was both lawful and consistent with our values.
Are you concerned at all that the drone policy ends up serving as a recruiting tool a la Guantanamo?
Well, I would simply say that the president is absolutely committed to going after those who would do the American people harm and makes no apologies for that. But he does it in a way that is both non-ideological, that is practical, and that makes sure that we adhere to the law and our values.
Now you have to listen to Obama's radical, anti-American, anti-white pastor, Jeremiah Wright, talking about Obama's relationship with the church.
Church is not their thing. It never was their thing. It wasn't, we knew it wasn't his, but she was not the kind of black woman whose mama made her go to church, made her go to Sunday school, made her go to BYPU, if the Baptist, or Richard Allen, and Methodist. She wasn't raised in that kind of environment, so the church was not an integral part of their lives before they got married, after they got married.
But the church was an integral part of his politics.
Yeah.
Now, listen to Mitt Romney speaking last night to supporters in Las Vegas.
As a matter of fact, he came into the White House and told people not to bother to go out to Las Vegas for conventions or meetings. That sure as heck didn't help, did it? I'll tell you, if I become the next president of the United States, I'm going to remind people I've come to Las Vegas. I love it here. Las Vegas, and spent some time. Sometimes I just don't think he understands what it takes to help people. I know he wants to help, but he doesn't know what he's got to do. I was speaking with one of these business owners who owns a couple of restaurants in town. And he said, you know, I'd like to change the Constitution. I'm not sure I can do it, he said, but I'd like to have a provision in the Constitution that in addition to the age of the president and the citizenship of the president and the birthplace of the president being set by the Constitution, I'd like it also to say that the president has to spend at least 3 years working in business before he can become president of the United States.
Here are some of the questions we've been talking about on the Savage Nation. Were you raised by hippies? Are you now a conservative? The face-eating cannibal in Florida took a powerful new form of LSD called bath salts. Did you or someone you know take LSD in the 60s or 70s? What impact did it have on your life? And why did you stop taking LSD? And did your life change for the better? The Miami Causeway cannibal started on his path to perdition via marijuana. If you used to be a pothead, how did you stop it? What caused you to give up pot and get your life back on track, take your life back from marijuana? Yesterday, Obama called a Nazi death camp, which was located in Poland, a Polish death camp. unbelievable.
Jan served as a courier for the Polish resistance during the darkest days of World War II. Before one trip across enemy lines, resistance fighters told him that Jews were being murdered on a massive scale and smuggled him into the Warsaw Ghetto and a Polish death camp to see for himself.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture reign supreme. On the top right, we have graphic pictures of the cannibal face eater with his victim lying naked on the causeway. It was sent to me by a friend. Miami warning, graphic pic of cannibal face eater. Sent to me by somebody who apparently was there. Have you ever seen anything like this? Click on this picture. This is not Photoshopped, so far as I know.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
God, it looks like...
I'm surprised we haven't heard more about it, because I don't know anyone else who has this picture. Do you? Who was the causeway cannibal? On MichaelSavage.com, White House defends drone attacks and his kill list. On sale everywhere is Trickle-Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Yesterday, Obama honored a socialist, a good friend of Hugo Chavez and his despotic communist regime. Obama loves her and admits he stole her campaign slogan, Yes, We Can. And the people still haven't figured it out.
When Cesar Chavez sat Dolores Huerta down at his kitchen table and told her they should start a union, she thought he was joking. Without any negotiating experience, Dolores helped lead a worldwide grape boycott that forced growers to agree to some of the country's first farm worker contracts. And ever since, she has fought to give more people a seat at the table. Don't wait to be invited, she says. Step in there. Dolores was very gracious when I told her I had stolen her slogan, Si se puede, yes we can. Knowing her, I'm pleased that she let me off easy. Because Dolores does not play.
Polls demand Obama apologize for Polish death camp remark. Good luck. Valerie Jarrett is the de facto president. She has a mysterious hold over Obama. Take a look at this prize. Israel hints it may be behind flame supervirus targeting Iran. Oh, yeah, all right. Obama knows about Judaism more than any other president. Romney says he's not going to play the repudiation game. Eric Holder, the IRS, and the ACLU are working together to prep black pastors for the campaign. I thought there was a separation of church and state. Oh, sorry, except when it comes to Obama. Texas so-called honor-killing suspect hiding in plain sight. Michelle says Barack quit drugs to do more with his life. She said Obama's youth was like a script of a Cheech and Chong movie. Isn't that nice to see? No wonder he gave it to Bob Dylan, blowing in the wind.
Something was blowing in the wind.
Yeah. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? A mother's love for her son. Go take a look at the image of the 10 Marines and her son who were whacked in one of our wars and have been forgotten. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's Blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them, Blinds.com. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, I believe Freud's theories about sex are as relevant as ever, and so although some of them have undergone revision, many current psychologists think that the founder of psychoanalysis was completely wrong about everything, he had everything backwards, and they've tried to undo what he did. It's part of the deconstruction of Western civilization, by the way. By bringing down Freud's theories, so they think, they can bring down and collapse all of Western civilization and completely turn civilization on its head. There are certain things you can't change, and you cannot take a giant and turn him into a Lilliputian, particularly if you yourself are a Lilliputian and not a giant. The fact of the matter is, sexuality has a central place in our psyche. So you say, well, okay, I don't want a college lecture today on the Savage Nation. I've heard all this, or I haven't. I'm not interested. Talk instead about Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum. I don't want to do it. I mean, I am so bored of politics right now. You know, what'll be will be. Whoever runs will run. When the election comes around, I'll talk about it, right? I'm not going to talk about these, you know, who's going to run now. I mean, I'm not on Fox News where that's my bread and butter. I think that I would rather talk about something positive, which is, if you're driven by sexual thoughts or urges, how have you sublimated them into something positive? I think that's what's important to think about. Not whether you're sick, okay, but how have you channeled your hypersexuality, so to speak, into something positive? Okay, that's an important discussion, because I would argue that all of civilization is built upon sexual energy, if you want to take it from a strictly... I am probably strictly, from a psychological point of view, a Freudian in that regard, even though I'm not a therapist at all. I never pretended to be, nor do I want to be. But if you were to ask me what school of psychology, Savage, do you follow, it would be Freudianism, because he was a giant. He was the founder of psychoanalysis. But even he had his limitations, and he acknowledged it. Even he once said, if I remember correctly, that not everything was about sex, and he once commented, you know, he said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Okay, so let's not get carried away, you know what I'm saying? He understood that there was a limitation even to his theories. Now, I know many of you don't agree with Freudianism, but that's really not what the show is about right now. It's how do you use the energy, your sexual energy. New York City, WOR, Nando, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, you know, I'm a psychologist in New York City, and I agree with you that Freud was a giant in a lot of ways, but he did get some things backwards. For example, he assumed that the disturbance was sex-based. But a lot of people get disturbed first and foremost about other things like ego, their status, their anger, their rage, and then they employ all kinds of methods to...
Well, let me see. I'm not here to dispute them. You because you... Hold it. I'm not going to dispute because you know more about it than I do, but I want to see if I can follow your ideas. You said that the anger and the rage control them, but what drives the anger and rage is what I'm interested in.
I think... From a modern cognitive behavioral point of view, it's the stuff they tell themselves. You know, you and I can look at the same situation, and we tell ourselves different things. If your premise is one of, let's say, an unconstrained vision, you're more liberal. If you have more of a constrained, tragic view, you're more conservative. So both of us can look at the...
Wait a minute, I like it. That was pretty glib of you. Wait, yeah. I want to hear that again. Let me hear that again. That was beautiful. Let me hear it again and see if I agree with it.
Well, this is a theory that's been out there, I guess, for like sort of a dozen years or so, which is that some of us have sort of a tragic view of life, which is that there are constraints on the world, you can't have everything you want, and those people tend to become conservative.
Hold on, let me think about that. I have that viewpoint, but I don't think that's why I'm a conservative. But okay, now give me the liberal viewpoint.
That's one factor. But then another factor is if you believe I can have it all, in fact, I deserve it all, and somebody should provide it, otherwise the world is wrong and unfair towards me, then you tend to become more liberal.
You mean that the world owes you a living, in other words?
Yeah. Right. Now,
all right.
But I would
just add to this, since we're getting into the strictly political, that I was speaking with a boatsmith today, a man who came out and fixed some wood on my boat today. He's an expert in mechanics. And we were working together. I mean, I was watching him. He was taking out broken screws and fixing a broken rail. And he's a businessman. And he said to me, every businessman he knows on the Sausalito waterfront is ultimately a conservative politically because they don't like hyper-regulation and they hate high taxation. And they all love my show, is what he was saying. So in other words, even though they live in this liberal area of San Francisco and they work on the Sausalito waterfront in the boat industry, anyone in business recognizes that big government is against them. I don't think that has anything to do with emotions or sexuality.
But That's right, and people can get disturbed and then use sexuality. But even there, you know, if you have a moral view which is everyone should be equal, then you're going to view injustice as anything that makes more money for one.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe everyone can be equal.
Right.
All we have to do is look at a basketball game and understand that there are some people who are better at basketball than others.
Right. Well,
okay, and then I apply that to every sphere of the world. You're not going to take everyone and turn them into a nuclear physicist, for example, or a surgeon. That's absurd. That's absolutely the communist point of view. And you know that went on in communist China after the revolution, which is what scares the heck out of me and makes me sick when I listen to these unrequited leftists who tell me that every moron in America can become a brain surgeon if only they were given the chance. That's utter nonsense.
I agree with you. In fact, that's called the moralistic fallacy, that because I might be disadvantaged in some way, it's wrong, and therefore it isn't so. That's really a fallacy that says that if it's wrong, it isn't so, and that doesn't follow.
Well, look, you're a psychologist, and I have sympathy for educated people in this field, but I want to ask you, you said Freud had it backwards. Tell me how he had it backwards.
Well, he had it half right in that sex, really, not sex evolved to get our genes into the next generation. So in that sense, he was correct. But he said that he made these fixed rules about these stages that you have to go through, and that if you didn't properly go through these stages, then you'd be messed up in life and have a...
Oh, what, the oral, the anal, the phallic, et cetera? Yeah, that whole theory?
I think he made all that up. But the reality is that when people get disturbed of various sorts because they put themselves down, or they put others down, or they put the world down, they get enraged, or they get grandiose, then they're so upset that they use different means to appease themselves, whether it's more regulation or hurting others or...
But what about in Freud's view that sexuality as the causation of all neurosis? Would you agree with some of that, or all of it, or none of it?
I think you got to be very careful. I mean, obviously, sex is important in the sense that it motivates a lot of what we do. Now, a lot of that is unconscious. He was correct about that, because let's say if I study painting or something, I'm not consciously thinking that this is going to get me laid. On the other hand, it might help me get that.
Well, what do you think people go to museums for?
Yeah, right. So.
I'm joking. But how many people that are in museums are there to meet somebody? You have to ask yourself, you think everyone's there just to look at the paintings and the sculptings? I would think a lot of people are going there to meet sophisticated people looking at paintings and sculptings. Yeah. In addition to looking at the art, they're pretending they're only looking at the painting, but maybe through the corner of their eye and the corner of their mind, they're hoping to meet somebody like themselves, somebody else who appreciates fine art.
Savage.
Go again with Iran, said to be much closer than we thought to getting a nuclear weapon. That's according to a recent International Atomic Energy Agency report. Well, I've been hearing this for years. Let's hear the truth about it. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this is CBN News expert on terrorism and national security, Eric Stackelback. Eric, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, always great to be here.
So tell the Savage Nation more about this IAEA report, and what you actually think this administration will do, if anything, to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. You think they're really going to do it?
Here's what I think the Obama administration wants to do, Michael, in regards to Iran. Now, the IAEA is mentioning that Iran has enough enriched uranium to build some 5 nuclear weapons. The Obama administration knows this. Here's what they're hoping for, hoping beyond hope. President Obama hopes that he will get reelected in November. And he hopes in the next 6 months or so, before that, God forbid, would happen, that he can restrain Israel and dissuade Israel from taking action. And then once the if that happens, if Israel does not act, and by the way, I think they're going to act against Iran's nuclear facilities, but if they didn't, Obama gets reelected, all of a sudden in his second term, look, he doesn't have to worry about reelection. He doesn't have to worry about the fallout of Iran going nuclear. He's hoping Israel doesn't act. then in his second term, when Iran inevitably announces, yes, we have the nuclear bomb, say they conduct a nuclear test, we wake up, turn on the TV one morning, and that's the headline, then Obama can say, well, we can contain them. He doesn't have any fallout in terms of electoral fallout. Look, if Iran does a nuclear test in, say, July and announces they have the bomb, that hurts Obama tremendously in the run-up to November. He looks weak. It's a terrible thing. He has said again and again, we will not allow Iran to go nuclear. We're willing to take any steps necessary to prevent that. Well, if they go nuclear on his watch before the election in November, that could be a death knell to his reelection chances. So what he's hoping for is that this Iran issue doesn't literally explode before November. Then in his second term, if Iran does test a bomb and Iran announces their nuclear, hey, it doesn't hurt him too much. After all, he believes he can contain a nuclear Iran. The Obama administration, Michael, has made a conscious decision that they can live with a nuclear Iran. They can contain Iran, mutually assured destruction, just as we did during the Cold War with the Soviets. But, Michael, as you and I have discussed so often on the show, that concept does not exist with this maniacal, suicidal Iranian regime.
Okay, so what happens if Iran does get their hands on a nuclear weapon? Are we really looking at nuclear Armageddon?
I think if Iran gets their hands on the bomb, they're going to use it. There's no question about that in my mind. Look, maybe they won't use it right away. Maybe they'll kind of milk it, and they'll take advantage of their status for a few months to gain concessions. Maybe they'll intimidate the Gulf states. Maybe Iran will pretty much set the global price of oil by bullying Saudi Arabia and the rest of them, the major oil producers in OPEC. They can flex their nuclear muscle for several months, gain concessions from the West, gain concessions from the world, use it to their advantage, but maybe they'll do that for a few months, maybe they'll do that for a year or two, but Michael, eventually they're going to use the bomb. Their ideology demands it. Are they going to use it right away? Who knows? They just might. But their ideology demands that they use nuclear weapons to targets. Number one, the little Satan, in their view, Israel, and number two, the great Satan, America. Now, right now they have missiles that can reach every inch of Israel, can reach most of Europe, and they're working on intercontinental ballistic missiles that could reach the east coast of the United States. So they're not doing that by coincidence. They're doing it for a reason. Their ideology, in which they believe that the Islamic Messiah is about to return to earth. They call him the Mahdi or the 12th Imam. I know it sounds crazy, but Michael, as you know, they believe this stuff. With that ideology, they can usher in the return of this Islamic Messiah in a time of great global chaos. Nothing's going to cause chaos more than a nuclear bomb exploding over Tel Aviv. So they believe they have a divine mandate to usher in the end times, usher in their Messiah, to wipe Israel off the map, and to make Islam dominant in the world. That means they're going to use a nuclear weapon. This is a regime, Michael, and I've talked to former members of this regime who have defected. They, every day, it's drilled into them, the emphasis on martyrdom, on sacrifice, sacrificing your body, blowing yourself up for Allah, of offensive jihad, of conquest, of making the world Islamic, of wiping Israel off the map. They live and breathe this stuff, and they're willing to die for this stuff. And if they get a nuclear bomb, all bets are off.
What should this administration really be doing towards Iran? I mean, what should their policy be?
I'll say it clearly. I think the only thing left that will stop Iran from going nuclear, Michael, is a military strike. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Nothing will dissuade this Iranian regime from giving up this nuclear weapons program. They have made clear, the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, has made clear, and I quote him, sanctions will not stop us. No matter how much you squeeze us, and right now the sanctions are squeezing a bit. They're hurting Iran economically, without a doubt, but they're not hurting enough to really make Iran think twice, to even consider giving up their nuclear program. Ahmadinejad has said, our nuclear program is, quote, like a train with no brakes. They're pretty clear that they believe it is their divine right from Allah to have a nuclear weapon. Nothing is going to stop them short of military action. We're having these fruitless ridiculous talks right now, Michael. We had them last week in Baghdad with the with Russia, China, the U.S., the European powers, begging, basically begging Iran to give up their nuclear program, basically Iran extorting the West and refusing to give up their nuclear weapons program. It's a dog and pony show. Iran is using these talks, using these negotiations to just buy time so they can build the bomb. Michael, if I sound exasperated, it's because I am. This has been going on for 10 years. The Iranians have been stringing us along like fools, and they continue to do it. And then one morning we're going to wake up, and there's a nuclear test. Look, it's an unsavory proposition to carry out military strikes against Iran and stir a lot of things up probably in the Middle East and possibly some terror attacks here on U.S. soil. But it needs to be done. That is the only thing left. We've exhausted every possibility. Sanctions will not stop them because, Michael, even if we cut off their refined gas, which is a weakness of Iran, they'll go to Russia. They'll go to Venezuela. There's ways sanctions are hurting them. China, Russia, Venezuela. Iranian allies will more than make up for everything that's hurting them with the sanctions from the West. So their fallback, Hugo Chavez, Vladimir Putin, and the Chinese, that's Iran's fallback. So at the end of the day, sanctions are not going to work. Military action is the only thing that will stop these fanatical zealots from acquiring the world's most dangerous weapons. And when I say military action, I'm talking about coordinated strikes against those nuclear facilities. The U.S. can do it. We have the capabilities to do it. Israel can do it. Probably not to the degree, obviously, that we can do it, but Israel can definitely do it. But we, look, we are the great Satan in the Iranian ideology. We are the ultimate target, not Israel. We are the ultimate target. That's why they're acquiring these intercontinental ballistic missiles, to target us. We have a responsibility to take care of these nuclear facilities because at the end of the day, the bullseye is on our backs.
Well, if Romney wins, will he be any different? Can we trust him to handle Iran?
You know, I'm more comfortable with Romney than Obama, basically on everything. I'm not a huge Romney guy, but look, will he be tougher on Iran than Obama? He says he would, but would Romney do what I'm saying needs to be done, which is military action against those Iranian nuclear facilities? I don't know Romney, never met him, but I believe you would think that if Iran is on the precipice, if he gets credible intelligence that Iran is on the precipice of acquiring a nuclear bomb, you would think he would take action. He's got some good people around him, some good national security advisors. From what I'm told, you would think he would take action, but nothing's for certain. I do believe that if Israel did take action, that Romney would stand strongly with Israel. I do believe that. But, you know, look, it's an open question as to whether he would act, because at the end of the day, everyone knows it, Michael, in their guts, that the only thing that's going to stop the Iranians is military action. Everyone knows it in their guts. And like I said, this doesn't have to be a ground invasion. Coordinated airstrikes, cyber attacks, electronic warfare, there's a lot of ways you can destroy this Iranian nuclear program, or at least set it back several years. You don't need a ground invasion. But I do think the ultimate answer in Iran is regime change. Got to get rid of those mullahs. Anything. This is not like Egypt, where the alternative to Mubarak was the Muslim Brotherhood, an even worse alternative. Anything in Iran would be better than the mullahs right now. There is no worse alternative than this current Iranian government. Need to get them out of there. And I wonder if there are successful strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities, if that emboldens the Iranian people even more to rise up against the mullahs. That's another question. That's another good thing. We've done nothing. President Obama has sat on his hands. 2009, a million Iranians in the street protesting this regime sat on his hands, and Michael, quote, said that he didn't want to meddle.
Throughout U.S. history, do you think there's been a president who has been more clueless with regards to foreign policy than Obama?
Obama is Jimmy Carter times 10. I think Egypt, I think Libya, I think these are going to go down, along with Carter and Iran and the Shah, throwing the Shah under the bus. I believe Egypt and Libya are going to go down as two of the greatest foreign policy blunders in American history, because we've taken evil men out and replaced them with even more evil men. So Yes, I think Obama, in terms of foreign policy, is the worst we've ever seen by far. This is a guy who is embracing Islamists, embracing the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the granddaddy of them all when it comes to Islamic jihadist groups. The Obama administration is actively embracing them, not only embracing them, they're basically promoting them throughout the Middle East and North Africa, promoting their rise to power. This is madness. This is a group that is fundamentally opposed to America. Muslim Brotherhood leaders have said this. So we're promoting the Muslim Brotherhood. We're letting Iran go nuclear on our watch, doing nothing about Iran and Hezbollah, by the way, Michael, in our own backyard. They've established a vast network in Latin America. I wonder why they would do that. I wonder why they would have a network in our backyard. Because we're the ultimate target. He's talked about, Obama has talked about a reset button with the Russians when Putin is basically spitting in our face every chance he gets. Obama's been weak on the Chinese. But don't worry, Michael, we got bin Laden. That's all Obama is going to run on in this election over the summer, run up to November. Hey, he's a foreign policy warrior, a terror warrior. He got bin Laden. That's their sole foreign policy plank. He got bin Laden, first of all. He didn't get bin Laden, although he spiked the football about it a few weeks ago. Navy SEALs got bin Laden, and that order that he gave was a no-brainer that any American president would have given. But they're going to say bin Laden, or Obama got bin Laden, and he's carried out drone missile strikes against other al-Qaeda leaders in Pakistan. True, and that's great. But there's a lot more to foreign policy than just counterterrorism operations, and on that count, Obama fails miserably.
Eric Stackelbeck, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me. And remember, you can find out much more about these topics by watching my show, Stackelbeck on Terror, at cbnnews.com. And also pick up my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. Thanks again.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Someone once said this to me, a professor back in 1970. He said, you know, you're the only person I've ever met. He said, it's astonishing that you can function. He says, you have no barrier between your conscious and your subconscious. You actually function with both at once. So I said, and so what's wrong with that? In other words, I've plumbed my depth sufficiently through self-analysis to know who I am, and I'm not ashamed of it. What do I got to hide? I'm not like most people. I mean, well, what's there to hide? When everything I see isn't so pretty. But that's life, you know. Out of the muck, a lotus will grow. We all come from the muck, and we all go back to the muck. We come from the muck. We go back to the muck. What more do you need to know? None of us are demigods. None of us are God. Once you understand that we arise from a smelly ether called the swamp of life, and that is what we go back to, the rest is very easy. Then you stop worrying about if you have an extra little flab on your stomach and a gray hair and a mole on your face. And you suddenly accept yourself for what you are. Then you can wear an undershirt and look at yourself in the mirror and say, that's it, thank God I'm alive. And I got two legs and two arms and two lungs and a beating heart. What more do I need? I'm going to look like a bicycle rider who takes cocaine? Oh, God, what am I talking about? Why are you listening to me? I'm going up and down the scale here. I'm playing the scales for you on the Savage Nation. No, I'm a little upset because I opened a letter just now, a personal letter. I shouldn't have done it during the show. I got all my mail and I opened one from a relative. It's a shocker. It's a picture of my late father from a year before he died. Photo of daddy enclosed. Your mother kept it in her bag till she did. No, I never saw this picture. He looked healthy. He shouldn't have died this young. I'm older than he was, and he died. It's eerie. Yeah, I thank God Oscar the Cat isn't here. He's liable to curl up next to me, and it will be all be all over. He's in better shape than I am. Are you kidding me? And he died anyway? Not a gray hair on his head. And thin? I put on weight. I got gray hair, and I'm still kicking. Go figure it out. You know how many guys died in their 30s that I knew who were runners? Huffing and puffing with watches, and they'd invite him, and every minute they looked at their watch. They wouldn't touch this, and they ate perfect. They dropped dead like flies. I don't say don't exercise, but
No man is made to run like an Ethiopian bee picker day and night. You're not living in Ethiopia at 12,000 feet. That's why they win these races everywhere. That's where they run at high altitudes. You don't. Every year there's a few blowouts here with the San Francisco, what do they call it? Marathon, the marathon. Every year they got someone dropping dead before the finish line. If you want to run, go run. Enjoy yourself. This too shall pass. I have a whole different theory of exercise at a certain point in your life. Now, remember, I wrote the book on nutrition, and I also exercise moderately, but the key word is moderately. This excessive, like you're on a treadmill, heart attackville. It's worse than sitting in front of a television and eating Doritos. And I'm telling you, no human being has made the... You ever see old men running like that? It's insanity, total insanity. Show me in nature where a man runs like that after the age of 40, unless he's being chased by a predator who wants to burn his house down. Nobody runs like that if they don't have to. What did the great American writer say? Mark Twain, he said, I get all my exercise going to the funerals of my more athletic friends. It was funny. It worked for him. It worked. I'm sure if he ran, he would have been dead at 30. I'll never forget when I stopped running the day. Are you interested in any of this? I'm in a sweat from the whole story already. I ate nuts during the break. I got this picture. Now I'm having palpitations. I think I'll have a pizza for dinner tonight and beer. Nah, I think tonight I'm going to drive into the city. I'm not in the city. I'm not in San Francisco now. I'm out in the suburban location, one of my Arafatian houses. I have many locations. I don't know where I'm going to be the next night. That way, if anyone, they don't know where I'm going to. Because I don't know where I'm going to broadcast from or where I'm going to sleep. I have several locations. I have to. That's what the liberals are today. I have to watch out for them because they're all psychopaths. Every last one of them belongs in a mental hospital. Or in a straitjacket. That's all. Forget it. I don't want to go into bashing liberals. It's been done too often. And I did it better than anybody else. Oh, let's move on. Now, you see, I'm what do you call it when you talk and talk? And he looked good. Look at this. I can't get it out of my head. I shouldn't have looked at these pictures. He was, God bless him. A lot of good it did him, the wife. Black hair, thin, kept in shape, and dead. And what about Winston Churchill? He sat in the bathtub drinking brandy and smoking cigars. It hurt him? Could you picture him running around, let's say, England during World War II, saying, I got to do a stress break now? Our president, all our NBA-like leaders, they all run, they're in perfect shape, and they can't think. He sat with a brandy and a cigar in a bathtub. He was able to lead Britain through the darkest days of World War II.
Savage.